What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you are in the right place. Because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and help you get clarity and evidence on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journeys. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new, then here's a little bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get amazing results. Each week, I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and bust myths. Today, coming up on the show, I'll be joined by Danny Ray, world Hyrox champion. But first, here is my chat with Joe Bynum. I'm now joined by Joe Bynum, who is a Wim Hof instructor and founder of A Matter of Ice and Breath. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, as always. Right, so we're going to dive straight into it. For those who may not be familiar, can you explain what the Wim Hof method is and how it works?
Yeah, sure. So the Wim Hof method is a wellness tool. It was designed or created by a gentleman called Wim Hof from the Netherlands, who he really created it while he was recovering from a personal tragedy. And he went out into nature and discovered that nature was really a very good teacher during hard times. And it really combines what we call the three pillars. So we have the first pillar of gradual cold exposure. We have the second pillar of conscious breathing or breath work. And then we have the third pillar, which is mindset training. And it combines all of these really to encourage us to use resources that are around us, that are within us, to help improve the connection with ourselves and with the people around us in our life, with nature around us, with the ultimate goal of trying to make us a little bit happier, stronger, and healthier. And the principle behind the Wim Hof method, really, the thing that the science that underpins it, mm-hmm. is this concept of what we call hormesis, which is that we have these acute short-term stresses, which in short doses bring very, very beneficial, positive changes to our body, physically and mentally, which in the longer term would be damaging for us. So, mm-hmm. for example, cold exposure for a vast period of time would yes. be quite damaging to our health. But in short doses, it brings these physiological changes. And it's worth noticing as well that there's this idea that stress is really a continuum. And on one end of stress, you have doing too little. So too little stress leads us to atrophy, right? We don't stress the body enough, mm-hmm. so we don't adapt, we don't become resilient. On the other end, we have this idea of toxic stress, which is this chronic stress that never goes away. Mm-hmm. Both ends of that spectrum are undesirable. And the stresses in the Wim Hof method lies somewhere in the middle. It's okay. that stress to bring about positive change, but not so much that it's going to damage us.
Okay. Now, I can see that. I obviously understand that, you know, not enough load and not enough, you know, of anything can cause atrophy. We need to use it or lose it, right? We gotta move, otherwise we do have atrophy occur. And then I get the other end is, you know, debilitating, sickening, can be, you know, like you said, chronic and whatnot. So cold water immersion is a big part of the Wim Hof method. What are some of the main benefits people can expect from regular cold exposure?
Yeah, so we start with gradual cold exposure. So mm-hmm. That's the key point. We're not just dumping ourselves into ice necessarily from the beginning. We're building up slowly. We can yeah. start with a cold shower to get used to it, to build that adaptation. But if we're talking about ice baths specifically, we know from the science that there are very powerful physiological changes that occur when we go into the cold water. So, for example, we get a release of certain hormones in the body. One of these is noradrenaline. We get a 500% increase in noradrenaline by entering the ice. So that's the adrenaline in our system. And we also get a 250% increase in dopamine. That's our motivation molecule. That's our reward molecule. That sense of pleasure or feeling of goodness that you get from a job well done. That mm-hmm. is all associated with that dopamine. And we know that these two hormones have a really, really powerful effect on our mood. So immediately by going into the cold, we're boosting these hormones. So we get that feel good feeling. It's very, very good for our mood if we're feeling low. But these hormones also play another role. Adrenaline or noradrenaline is anti-inflammatory in nature in small doses. So they actually reduce inflammation in the body, and they boost the anti-inflammatory markers in our blood as well. So we are reducing inflammation in the body by going into the cold. Mm-hmm. And we're also boosting what we call our innate immune system, which is our first line of defense when we first get sick or when we get a cut and our body reacts to this invader. Our innate immune system kicks in. And the cold is actually able to stop the innate immune system from overreacting. So it's very useful in calming our innate immune system. Then on a more physical basis, we have a huge cardiovascular workout from going into the cold. Our cardiovascular system is made up of all of these veins and arteries and things and capillaries. And when we go into the cold, our smooth muscle cells, which are the cells around our blood vessels, constrict in order to protect our core mm-hmm. body temperature. So we're actually working these small muscle cells. If we spend a little bit longer in the cold, these start to relax, so we get dilation as well. And throughout a cycle of cold dipping, we get this constant constriction and dilation of the smooth muscle cells. So it's very good for working out the cardiovascular system, which without ever having to get on a running machine, I might add, which is a benefit for me because I'm not a big fan of of running machines. But then also the ice bath challenges us to use our breath to calm ourselves down when we're in there. So when we enter into the cold, we get this huge rush. We go into the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. That is our sympathetic nervous system activating, saying, hey, we're under threat. And in the first 30 to 60 seconds, roughly, it can be quite unpleasant. There's a discomfort. And if we stay with the breath, if we're able to calm the breathing, keep our focus in the ice, eventually we're able to use this breath to switch us over into the parasympathetic state, which is our rest and relax state. There's mm-hmm. this moment of, it's not too bad in here.
Yeah.
And with that comes the training of stress. That's this concept of resilience, because our body responds to stress mostly in the same way. It can't distinguish between whether we are in an ice bath, if we're running from a lion, if we're stuck in traffic, or if we're having a really difficult conversation at work with our boss. Our system goes into this fight or flight response. Mm. And there is a concept here of if we can train ourselves to calm down in the ice, then we are able to train ourselves to deal with stress in other situations in our life.
Okay. That's really fascinating. Like, obviously, I'm a big fan of cold water immersion for certain reasons. I worked in professional sport and in the rehab kind of world. So, it's interesting hearing, obviously, your side of things compared to, obviously, what I know about heat and stuff. But this is really interesting and stuff. So many people are hesitant about cold water therapy. How do you help beginners overcome that initial fear or kind of discomfort? You've mentioned breath work and obviously the gradual cold exposure. Is that literally how you would start? Or
so I think it's a really, really good question. And I think the first thing to recognize is that it is a totally normal response to have, to be hesitant about the cold. From a very human aspect, especially in the 21st century, we are we're almost spoilt by the comfort that we have. And it's quite an unusual characteristic to seek out a deliberately uncomfortable situation, if you see what I mean. So yeah. I think the first thing to notice is really that's a very normal feeling to have. It's very common that people are quite terrified of the cold, in fact. Firstly, I would say that mindset is a huge part of this method, and this underlying belief that we are far, far more capable of things than we give ourselves credit for. Mm. And so for those people that are hesitant, I would say, yes, absolutely, start gradually. We know from the science that to get the benefit from cold exposure, we do not need extreme temperatures. We do not need extreme times. In fact, there are studies now that show even cold showers of 30 seconds a day is enough to reduce the amount of self-reported sick days from work. So we know that very short exposure in pretty mild temperatures. Okay, it's still unpleasant. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but 30 seconds is...
But it's not... We need to move away from this mindset of extremes. Mm. It's not necessary, especially in the beginning. So I would say start slowly. Start with a shower, maybe 15 seconds of cold water at the end of your regular shower, and then build up gradually over time. And really focusing on preparing yourself mentally. We don't want to rush anything. We don't want to force anything. We really want to get into that mindset of we can do this, 15 seconds, focusing on those long, slow exhales through the mouth and nice inhales through the nose.
Yeah, see, Joe, I really like what you said there about the extremes. I think we are all so guilty of finding something new online and go, I want to try this, and then absolutely bombing ourselves with it for weeks and then just giving up. Oh, that was too hard. Yeah. You know, just drip feed it into your life. It's like, oh, I'll start tomorrow. Well, it's not even 12 o'clock. Why don't you just start now? You know, you've still got maybe another 10 hours left of your day before you go to bed. Why don't you just start implementing some things? Why don't you try and do your cold shower after, you know, your 15 seconds after at the end of the day? You know, just simple things like that.
Exactly. And just to add to that, I had a very good conversation with someone the other day exactly on this topic. And she came to me. She'd been practicing actually contrast therapy between sauna and ice baths. But she was asking me, at what point am I supposed to go to? She was doing ice baths that were over 10 minutes long in cycles of three or four cycles, 20 to 30 minutes in the sauna between goes.
Yeah.
And you've got to take a step back at a certain point and say, what's your end goal in this? Mm-hmm. We need to be steered by the science, but we also need to be steered by at what point are you happy that you've achieved what you have set out to achieve?
Yeah, no, so true, so true. Obviously, you mentioned the breathing components in the Wim Hof method. Can you explain how the breathing technique works and why it's so important?
Yeah, so the breath work is sometimes what we call controlled hyperventilation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people hear that word and they panic a little bit because there's an association there of the hyperventilation that we might experience during an anxiety or panic attack. Mm. But the real clear distinction here is that this is a controlled form of hyperventilation. It's a deep diaphragmatic breath that we are consciously choosing to breathe in this way. Mm. We are in control at all times. So at any point that we feel uncomfortable, we can go back to our regular breathing. But the reason why we do this deep diaphragmatic breathing, these deep inhales and a sigh, is that it allows us to blow off carbon dioxide. Mm. So effectively, we can lower the level of carbon dioxide that we have circulating in our body, in our blood, to a level that is lower than we typically would. Mm-hmm. And carbon dioxide serves several purposes in the body. It is not a bad thing. We need a certain level of carbon dioxide most of the time to breathe healthily. But carbon dioxide, one of its role is it triggers our urgency to breathe. And when we get rid of that carbon dioxide, when we lower that carbon dioxide beyond a certain threshold, we're actually able to hold our breath for far longer than we typically would be able to. And in the Wim Hof method breathing, we have several rounds of this style of hyperventilation, followed by gradually increasing soft breath holds.
Okay.
And over 3 to 4 rounds of this breathing, we are able to actually reach a point where we become hypoxic in the body. So our oxygen level hits the deficit zone. And this goes back to that principle of hormesis again. It's a hormetic stressor. So on a cellular basis, we are reducing our oxygen level, which stresses the body in a good way, in a short-term way. This breathing releases, again, a huge amount of adrenaline. In fact, even just the mouth breathing, the nature of how, as we get used to the breathing, we may switch to mouth breathing. Mouth breathing and fast breathing triggers the sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight response. And that alone has physiological effects on our body, the release of adrenaline, the way that we use glucose in the body as a result. But from the effects of the adrenaline itself, again, we're seeing anti-inflammation in the body. We're seeing a boost in the immune system function.
Okay.
Carbon dioxide itself is also a very powerful vasodilator. So when we get rid of the carbon dioxide, we are able to constrict our blood vessels. So we're working that cardiovascular system again. And lastly, but I'm certainly for me, what I found the most important is it really almost feels like a reset for the nervous system. There is a calmness, a mood boost, a sense of deep connection with the breath and with ourselves that comes with this practice. And it really helps to build this mind-body connection, the ability to feel these sensations in the body whilst we're breathing consciously.
Okay. So obviously you've said a lot about the physical benefits, but are there any mental and emotional benefits from practicing the Wim Hof method?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, there's that sense of calm that can come. There is when we switch into the parasympathetic state, that nervous system that is associated with rest and relaxation. Yeah. We call it the rest and digest state. We can feel safe. We can feel calm, which is terrific for our mental health. But also these hormones again, the feel good hormones. Dopamine being boosted, noradrenaline being boosted. To give you an example of its use in medicine today, many ADHD and depression medications have some aspect of them that simulate the production of noradrenaline and dopamine.
Okay.
They make us feel good. So it's actually a key component of certain ADHD medications. So for people who are experiencing a deficit in noradrenaline or dopamine, there is a suggestion that by doing this method, by boosting our noradrenaline and dopamine, we can feel benefits from it, and it can have a huge effect on how we feel. Anecdotally, I run a very regular cold water dipping group twice a week, actually, in addition to my Wim Hof method workshops. I have a large number of people who come with anxiety, depression, and especially ADHD. And there is something very beneficial that they find from going into the cold.
Life-changing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, really powerful.
Okay. Right. Final few questions for you. How would a typical session look like, you know, especially for someone who's just getting started? I know you brushed upon, obviously, the gradual immersion at the start, and you've brushed upon a few things, like, but maybe talk us through, like, what a session would look like, how long would it last, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I would say, the textbook response would be start your day with the Wim Hof method. It's a great way to deal with cortisol. We have very high cortisol when we wake up in the morning, so it is a good way to recover from that. It's also a way of starting the day with a challenge overcome and all of the benefits that come with that, the sense of achievement and just that reset to get us going at the start of the day. Now, some people are going to find that they're not normal. They're not morning people. Some people are going to find that they are more evening. You might be a bit of a night owl. So it's not a hard rule that this has to be done in the morning. But typically, textbook case would be do it in the morning. If not, exactly as you said earlier on, find what works for your lifestyle and fit it in. Typically, you would start with breath work. So you might get up out of bed so you don't fall asleep, set up your yoga mat or find a place on the sofa, somewhere where you can lie down or sit down without a risk of falling over and hurting yourself. And you would do probably three rounds to begin with as you get used to it, three rounds of the breathing. You can use the Wim Hof Method app to follow along, or there's also free videos available on YouTube explaining how to do that. And of course, the website wimhofmethod.com has plenty of information. And then after the breathing, you'll give it a few minutes to recover. And then you might go and take your regular morning shower. Start with your hot water, as you normally do, and end with 15 seconds of cold. Build from there. If you can get to about 2 to 3 minutes in the cold shower, I would say that's a really good place to then start to explore the option of doing ice baths.
Yeah, perfect. Well, Joe, that is amazing and very insightful and super, super informative. So thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Have you got a website? Have you got social media?
Yeah, so I'm on social media under the handle at A Matter of Ice and Breath. But you can also find me via the Wim Hof Method website under the instructors page. There's instructors all over the world. So no matter where you're listening from, you absolutely can find someone near you who you can work with. There's a range of options to do one-to-ones or group workshops. But yeah, if you'd like to work with me, that would be fantastic. And you can find me at A Matter of Ice and Breath. Before I go, I did just want to say, from a safety perspective as well, it's really important that we don't do the breathing anywhere in or around water. Safety must be our top priority at all times. That's why we say we build gradually. We never force anything. We keep that sense of play, but we have to be sensible and respectful with how we approach the cold. And similarly, there are some people that this method is not going to be suitable for. We usually say that the Wim Hof Method is safe for everyone of at least average health, but it's not going to be safe for people who have heart conditions, who have epilepsy or are pregnant. And so I would recommend that people go to the Wim Hof Method website and check the safety briefing just to make sure that it's suitable for them. And if in doubt, check with a doctor.
Amazing. Well, super insightful. Thank you so much for that safety information at the end. And you have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, mate. You take care. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be doing some listener questions.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction: send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favorite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. He's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Coming up now, we have Danny Ray. Danny is a British Army physical trainer and current UK Pro Hyrox champion who holds the national records in both individual and doubles events. He has won the Hyrox Pro Doubles World Championship ages 16 to 29 in Chicago with his partner, Liam McCorry. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. Clocking an absolutely incredible time of 50 minutes and 35 seconds, securing the world title just 2 weeks ago. Danny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. That was some introduction. Thank you very much for having me on.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, let's dive straight into this, shall we? So, what does a typical training week look like for you during a Hyrox season, and is there a Hyrox season? Is it like a, you know, normal sporting season?
Yeah, no, you're right. There is a Hyrox season, so to speak. But with that said, there are events all over the world in multiple different locations. And noting that we've just done the World Champs just over a week ago, there is another event probably in the next couple of weeks somewhere. I think Abu Dhabi's in July 19th. So the season kickstarts pretty quickly. As for the UK events, they start around October. So the UK season is a little bit shorter, but in terms of like the Hyrox worldwide season, it's pretty stacked. In terms of a typical training week, for me, that's a little bit difficult only because my job, actual racing itself, there used to be a time where I'd have a training split where I know exactly what I'm going to be doing on a different day of the week, but at the minute it's kind of all over the place. In an ideal world where I've got no distractions, a typical training week would look like a nice mixture of running and strength training, with a little dabble of Hyrox chucked on the top once or twice a week.
Okay, nice. And how much running would you say you probably clock up in a week? Because, you know, it's... with Hyrox, obviously, for the listeners, it is a complete mix of running and obviously exercises with multiple reps, isn't it? So it's like there's an element of strength, but there's also a huge emphasis on cardiovascular fitness, right?
Yeah, 100%. And at the minute, it's definitely becoming like, as I say, more of a runner's game. It's always been a runner's game, but the stronger runners are starting to come through now that they're learning the specific movements like you've mentioned there with the strength stuff. But in terms of like weekly mileage, I would say 50 to 80 is kind of the sweet spot, depending on what sort of level you're competing at.
Okay.
But I'd say as a minimum around 50 for me.
Okay, and that's K, correct?
Kilometers, yeah, not miles, apologies. Yeah.
No, that's fine. Just double checking. Okay, nice. And how do you structure your nutrition to support both kind of endurance and strength training? Because They are both so different, but again, I kind of feel that you can nutritionally stack up on both quite easily, if you get what I mean. But obviously, how do you stack it and how do you structure all of that?
Yeah, so I think it's, in terms of like the macros, it's probably similar to any training split, although that carbs are absolute king when it comes to endurance, as you know. But I think it's timing. Timing is the key thing. So pre-session, depending on how intense it's going to be, the amount of carbs that I'm going to have, and then if I'm going to be doing a double training day, then it's getting that carbs and protein, you know, within the sort of first 30 minutes to set me up for success for that second session.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say probably carbohydrates first and then protein and then fats for a HYROX training split.
Okay, nice. And would you have a pre, intra and post shake, for example? Or would you do, obviously, if you've got a double training day, you might do an intra where obviously it's quite a carby drink to keep you going and help you for later, or would you not?
Yeah, so I'll give yesterday as an example. In terms of pre, intra, post, I would have something called Electrofuel. I don't know if I can name brands on the radio, but I use Electrofuel from MyProtein. Yeah. It's got a mixture of electrolytes and carbohydrates, nice. Carbohydrates being fast release. So it doesn't sit too heavy on my stomach, and that's what I have pre-session. During the session, I'll then have just electrolytes in my water because I sweat quite a lot. I'm quite a salty sweater. And then post, I use, again, it's MyProtein. It's called Recovery, but that has got carbs and protein. So
nice.
The carbs and protein is what's going to set me up for success for that second session. Yesterday, I went from a strength session. A few hours later, went into intervals. So that's how I break that down.
Yeah, okay, nice stuff. And with your recovery strategies, you know, what are your key recovery strategies to keep you injury free? Do you do much research on kind of like the latest things, like compression garments aid recovery by like 10% and all these things? Are you a big fan in kind of doing your homework on things like that?
I'm all ears for new stuff like that, but personally what I found like
works for you,
obviously. Yeah, personally, what I find worked for me, and you'll probably hear this as a reoccurring theme from a lot of athletes, is like sleep. I think people underestimate the importance of sleep. Like, I know for a fact if I've done a hard session and then I've got 6 or 7 hours sleep that night, the next day I just don't feel as ready to train. You know, and I can have all the compression garments and electrolytes and, you know, protein supplements in the world. If I'm not getting the right sleep, that's where I am, where I fall foul.
Okay, so for you, your main thing is sleep. It's none of the, it's not, they're not fads and gimmicks, are they? Because they're clinically proven and scientifically proven, but sleep is king.
Sleep is absolute key as a priority, and then supplementing that further with your like, I have got compression boots.
Yeah.
I do get sports massage. I do PNF stretching and all this sort of stuff. But nice. Sleep is the A game for me, and then everything else after.
Okay, amazing. And how did you first discover HYROX? So obviously you've got a military background, correct?
Yes. My wife actually was talking to me about it for quite a while. She had a friend who was competing at the World Champs back in 2023. And to be honest, I was kind of just a bit more like, yeah, sounds good, but not overly. My ears weren't overly sort of spiked to it. It was only when I actually went to go and spectate and watch it that I got massive FOMO. I was standing in the venue thinking, this is unreal. You know, music's blaring. Everyone's just loving life. It's got that good mixture of functional station work with the running. It was completely new concept to me at the time. I think years of being in the military, I looked at it and thought, this is exactly how we train day to day. You know, on the shop floor when we're doing our squadron level training, it looks just like this, you know, running and active and in a station. So yeah, that's where it started.
Yeah, and I can see that, because obviously you know, military individuals are so cardiovascularly strong, but also endurant as well. Like, they have such strength, they have such endurance levels. So when you say that, I can already picture it, and you're kind of just sat there and you're just like, yeah, I think I could do well at this.
Yeah, it's like we do lots of things where we make ourselves tired and out of breath and then pick things up and then we throw them and then we drag them and we pull them. Yeah. So there was such good carryover.
Yeah. And what made you want to kind of compete at a pro level?
The first time I ever done a HYROX, as a solo, I got a 103 But it's just, I think it's one of those things where I knew that there was definite potential there. I knew that I had a good base of running and I knew that I was quite functional. I just needed to put it all together and actually train properly for it. It's the only sport that's actually made me want to train for something. Okay. And I spent a lot of months doing that and then inadvertently just ended up, you know, getting some good times. And that reinforced the potential, and then I kept training more and more, and next thing you know, we've climbed the ladder slightly, but plenty more work to go.
Nice. And what would you say the biggest challenges are when starting HYROX? Because I've said this before, I feel like it's more inclusive than, for example, CrossFit, because obviously there's a higher skill level with CrossFit, you know, and then there's a higher risk of injury, whereas HYROX I feel like is more welcoming of all standards.
Yeah. So the HYROX, they say they're, you know, they're holistic movements which are low skill and everyone can do, you know, very little training required to be able to push a sled or do a warble.
Yes.
And I think that's what I think you're completely right. You know, there's so many amazing sports out there. CrossFit is an incredible sport. Mm-hmm. HYROX is equally as incredible, but like you say, it appeals to the masses because, you know, my wife has done it with her mum and dad who are in their 50s. I've done it with my dad, and you know, he just needed a week to brush up on some technique, and next thing you know, we're doing a HYROX together. So I think that's why it's so good. Like you say, low skill, but also the event itself in terms of like the atmosphere and
fun.
It's very much a spectator sport. I don't know if there's any other examples of that where you can get just your average Joe feel like they've got 100 people watching them do burpees, but actually they're all just watching their friends and family, but it creates such a buzz and such an environment.
No, and I totally agree. And I've been to, I live near Farnborough, and they've got the airport there, and there's a couple of hangars, and they do competitions there all the time. So CrossFit and HYROX and stuff. So I've been and watched, and it's a great buzz. Like, it is a really, really good, enjoyable kind of buzz. How do you stay mentally focused during tough races or particular training blocks?
Oh, tough races. Wow. I've been in a few of those. I think having lots of race experience, you come to realize that it's okay to have like a bad day. And that's how I stay sort of mentally engaged. It's like you get to a situation where it's not going as well as what you think it should be going, but you've been there before and you've experienced it, and you know you're gonna learn more from that coming out the other side. And that's how I stay engaged.
Okay, nice. What would you say your most memorable HYROX moment is so far? Is it the recent one 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was incredible. The doubles with Liam. Every sort of second of that hurt. But I think on a personal level, I would say 2 weeks before that in Cardiff, I raced pro and I was very, very low on confidence. But that race put me right back up there. I placed first in the pro division, but also ran the fastest time as an individual athlete of the whole weekend for a UK event. So that was sort of my proudest moment.
That's amazing. And do you find a lot of, obviously in the pro standard, it's a lot of the same faces week in, week out, or is it, are you always seeing new faces? Like, what's it like? How can you step up to the pro level, for example? Like, can people just come in and out and they're not good enough, so they leave, or, you know?
So the rankings, especially for the elites, it's on your two fastest pro times. Now, with the sport growing at an astronomical rate, there is a top 30 with their two fastest pro times. I'm in that top 30, but I know there's people outside of the top 30 that are faster than me that just don't have those two fast times yet. And once they get that second fast time, they'll be bumped straight up. But yeah, as the sport's growing, there'll be some dark horses out there that people aren't familiar with. But as a sort of a general consensus, there's a lot of people that, you know, you go to an event and you see all the familiar faces. But yeah, I think this is the season where we're going to see a lot more new faces enter the sort of roster, if you like.
Nice. That's, I think that keeps it exciting, doesn't it? And it's like, you know, always keeps you on your toes. How do you balance training with your social life and other commitments? Because obviously you said work is super busy as well, so.
Yes. So I'm currently in what we're calling the off season at the minute. So social commitments is on the up, mm-hmm. and training is on the down ever so slightly. But mm-hmm. in the lead up to say the World Champs, I think it was just saying no to a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, a bit of sacrifice, not heaps of it, because I like to have a social life, but there is an element of that. In regards to work, in my job, I'm in a job in the military where I'm teaching tactics. We do that 3 to 4 times a year. But when we are doing that, it's very, very full on. Mm. So in the interim between courses, that's where I get my time to train. But when I'm actually delivering courses, it is, you know, very much knees to chest and squeezing in sessions wherever we can.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And when you're in your off season, do you find that you're less likely to burn out? Because obviously some people, when they deload, they're still like physically and mentally burnt out, so they struggle to kind of manage it and get back up to where they were. Do you find that, you know, this helps you manage your burnout and your fatigue when it creeps in?
Yeah, I think from a physical standpoint, the off season for me is like I can still train because I've not had these crazy consistent blocks of like 8 to 12 weeks of being able to train properly every day. It's more of like a mental stimulus, like, you know, eating things that I like to eat and doing different activities that I don't normally get to do, like triathlon or going for a hike. That's for me where I focus my off season.
Okay, nice. And final few questions. Okay, what advice would you give someone doing their first HYROX?
I would say, as a first thing, I'd be like, well done for getting a ticket.
There is that.
Well done for getting a ticket, but also just go and enjoy it. You know, have an assessment. What is it you want to do? Do you want to go and complete it, or do you want to go and compete at it? I think if you want to complete it, you know, go and nail down the station work, understand the rule book. Lots of people don't have a great first race experience because there's rules and penalties that they're not aware of, and it kind of just, you know, overlooks the whole thing. So have a good understanding of that. If you want to compete, get good at running.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've definitely heard that. I've thought about it once or twice, but I'm not the strongest of runners, but I'm good at the stations. So, and final question, what's one common mistake you see new HYROX athletes make, and how can they fix it?
This is a very common occurrence, and sometimes I can still do it now, but you ever heard people going out too hot on a HYROX before?
Yes, I always like to think of it as a fuel gauge. You get in the red, the rev counter gets in the red, and you can't get out of the red.
Exactly that. That's a great analogy. Well, yeah, you can't get out of the red, and it's a hard place to be. But I always say don't go out too hot, but I feel like you just need to experience what that feels like.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see myself getting carried away, being like, look, I'm first.
I've won the ski. This is it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm winning. And then you're in the red and you're like, ah, I can't get out of the red. My rev meter is literally making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness, and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online.
In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the, I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this. Yeah. You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Coming up now, we have some listener questions. Guys, if you want to get your questions, your health and fitness questions in, DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram, or look out for the story where we will have a Q&A box. Right. Question from Nina. I feel bloated all the time, even though I eat healthy. Could it be what I'm eating or how I'm eating? Nina, it could be many, many things. So first of all, you say you're eating healthy. The definition of healthy for you might be extremely different to me. So first of all, what are you putting in your body? Do you have any intolerances? Do you struggle? Maybe play around with kind of what your carb sources are, what proteins you consume, what veg you consume. Does your body react better a certain way? There are many, many questions that you should probably play around with and ask yourself so that you have a good understanding of what is good for your body. Do you drink enough water? Where are you on your cycle? There are hundreds of questions for this, because they will all lead you to where you need to go. Worst case scenario, you can go and see a dietitian and they will definitely be able to help you with the bloating. But my main thing is, look at what kinds of carbs you're having. Are you having quite high starchy carbs, high in fiber? What are you struggling with? You know, do you feel, when you feel bloated, is it uncomfortable? You know, there's so many questions. So my biggest thing is, play around with the foods you're consuming and see how you get on with that. Hope that helps you. Marcus, I train hard but still don't feel confident in my body. How do you work on mindset alongside fitness? Marcus, this is an absolutely fantastic question. So first of all, training hard for lots and lots and lots of years might not help you with your confidence, but your mindset is going to be exactly what you need to focus on. So you might not have the most amazing aesthetic physique in the world, but first of all, if you're looking at people on social media and you're comparing yourself to them, guess what? Comparison is the thief of all joy. So you're probably having a lot of enjoyment in your life zapped out of you because you're comparing yourself to other people. So just focus on you. Focus on what you can and can't affect. You can affect your calorie deficit. You can affect how hard you train. You can affect your programming. You can affect your thought process. What you need to really, really do is you just need to believe in yourself, but you need to take steps every day to think about becoming a better person and what you think a better person looks like. So sit down, have a think, ask yourself, what do I want to look like? What do I want to think like? How do I want to be? There are books out there for mindset and motivation. There are books out there that are going to help you, you know, build a car so you can enter the race. That is probably my biggest piece of advice. So training is great, but focus on what you truly want to achieve. I hope that one helps. Ellie. Is fasted cardio really better for fat loss, or is that a myth? Ellie, that is a myth. The best thing for fat loss is actually weight training. Scientifically proven compared to three things they measured. They measured weight training, cardio, weight training, and cardio. So even with both of them put together, they did not find that anything was better for fat loss other than weight training. So if you want to do anything, or you want to help your calorie deficit, or you want to get that little bit fitter, or maybe, Ellie, you actually enjoy doing fasted cardio. I wouldn't do anything that I don't enjoy. Yeah, I would, actually. That's a lie. I would, because it's going to help me be a better person. But you get my drift, right? The long and short of it is you don't do cardio, fasted cardio, to punish yourself. You do fasted cardio because you feel it helps you more, not because online coach A has told you that fat loss is promoted by fasted cardio. None of that nonsense. So just find out what works for you, because you might actually find that, oh, I'm not hungry today, so I'm going to do it fasted. And tomorrow you go, oh my God, I'm Hank Marvin, I'm starving, I'm going to have a squares bar, or I'm going to have some porridge, and then I'm going to go for a run. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I was 3 minutes faster. Because you had more energy, because you fueled your body. That's the long and short of it. So fasted cardio isn't for everyone. Long answer, but very short answer now, is it is a myth. I do not believe in it. It doesn't work. But if it helps you do cardio, then do it. Okay? Chris, I've hit a plateau in my lifting progress. How do I break through it? Chris, when did you last change your program? Because if you are like half the nation who are stuck to the same program for more than probably, I'd say, maximum 3-4 months, you need a freshen up, my friend. You need a deload week. You need a sports massage. You need a week of some mobility, some low volume, two sets of maybe 12 reps. But super, super, super light stuff. Something where if you had 12 reps to do, you could probably do another 12. That's kind of how light we're talking. We want you to get the body moving, give it some recovery time. Make sure you eat food, Chris. Food is not bad. Food is not the enemy. Food is exactly how we get energy, how we feel stronger, how we feel better, how we get progress. So look at your program, look at your food, look at your body. Hopefully that helps. Next question, Rachel, can strength training help with stress and anxiety, or is it cardio better for mental health? So actually, there has been a correlation with people that have grieved in their lives and how they pick up a sport like running, so a cardio-based sport like running. There's actually, I've seen so much on it recently, that people that go through a period of grievance and hard times with family, loss, or whatever, they actually pick up cardio because it's mentally quite tough, and it's very, very different, isn't it? It's like, I could go to the gym for an hour and a half, I could get a pump on, I could look really good, I could feel great, but I'm not going to be there like breathing out of my derriere thinking, wow, that was hell, I want to do it again. Yeah, I could, but like not to the same extent. So if you want help with stress and anxiety, again, I'm a big advocate for what fits your life. So for you, if you enjoy strength training and it helps with your stress and anxiety because you want to get some anger out, go and weightlift. Go and do some strength training. But if you feel like you need to go for a run because you want to clear your mind, no music, silence, or you want to listen to a podcast, or you want to listen to a self-improvement podcast or something, then that is my biggest piece of advice. So do what is best for you. There's no such thing as what's better for your mental health. It's about your preference, okay? And guys, as always, it's a massive thank you from me and our fantastic guests today. We were obviously joined by Alfie Whittingham and Megan Jane Crabb. Just a reminder for you guys that you can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you are struggling with your health and fitness goals, guess what? I provide a top-tier coaching service with no BS. It is problem-solving, it is hand-holding, and I will carry you to the finish line. If you're interested in this, please reach out to me at gb.fitness.health or at George Burt on Instagram. Also, the show is available to listen back on all good podcasting platforms. As always, it is a massive thank you from me. I'm back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening.